Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to In the Know, the Hornets 24/7 podcast. Your knowledgeable hosts are Michael McNamara.
Me and a grizzly bear, I'm betting on me.
And me, Ryan Schwan.
I've been playing some Dungeons & Dragons because I'm really cool like that.
Let's get it started. All Hornets, all the time.
Welcome to the show. This was going to open a little bit strange. We recorded an interview with Michael Schwartz of Valley of the Suns, and we had a bit of an audio issue at the beginning of the recording that I discovered when I went back to cut it together for all of you. So we actually lost the first 5 minutes of the 32-minute interview we did with his. I'm going to give you a really quick summary of what was said in those 5 minutes, and then we'll get right back to the podcast. So essentially, we opened with the question, did Michael Schwartz feel like the Phoenix Suns had dodged a bullet since Gordon hasn't played a minute? And his response was, not really. The Suns desperately need a go-to scorer, and Eric Gordon could be that. It's way too early to say it as well. If he doesn't come back this season, or he continues to have lingering issues throughout the length of the contract, then maybe. I have great faith in the Phoenix Suns training staff. They've done great work for a decade. They only wanted to go 3 years on Amari Stoudemire, and if they were really willing to go 4 years for Eric Gordon, they didn't feel like he was damaged goods. So maybe something has changed, but I don't think the Suns can say they dodged a bullet unless it becomes a real long-term issue. Michael then followed up with a question, what would it take player-wise so we could get the Phoenix Suns training staff? And, of course, he responded with talking about how wonderful that staff was and how different they are. I suggested that possibly they were into cybernetics, and that when Eric Gordon said that his heart was in Phoenix, they actually had replaced his heart, which would also explain why he didn't want to play for the Hornets. It was a funny joke. Too bad we lost it. And then Michael finally moved on to, well, you know, it sounds like you still would like to have Eric Gordon on the Phoenix Suns team. What would you give to get Eric Gordon? Especially considering what we've been offered by other bloggers and other experts who've come on the podcast who really have been offering jack diddly for Eric Gordon. And here is his response.
Jared Dudley would be part of the deal to give you guys a two guard. And since, you know, the Suns wouldn't have as much of a need for him, he's really struggled to start the year. But based on how he's played the past few years and his contract, only $4.5 million a season, he's a solid buy. And at the time, I was saying you can't give up Gortat, but the more I'm thinking about where the Suns are at, he's going to be a free agent in 2 years, and he's going to want a big raise, and it doesn't seem like the Suns are going to be contenders in that time. So if that's what it took, I guess I would do something like those two guys. At the time, you know, you were looking at, since obviously New Orleans was interested in Robin Lopez, you could have done something involving Lopez and Gordon, and Dudley. And then maybe even a guy like Kendall Marshall, the Suns' first-round pick, he really hasn't done – well, he pretty much hasn't been on the court all season. So I would, if not Gortat, maybe if you wanted young guys, maybe something like Dudley, Marshall, and Markieff Morris, something like that.
I'd take that in a second.
Yeah, less than a second. We were having to give up first round picks just to unload Eric Gordon to other teams. So,
yeah. Well, I guess that if they take it as a bad contract, but I mean, I'm still looking at Eric Gordon as that. You need to do something. I think the Suns need to make that trade, whatever it is. Obviously, it would have been nice if they would have gotten involved for Harden. But you look at what could they have offered for Harden? Dudley, Markieff Morris, and a million draft picks. That's not going to get it done. You know, so I don't think the Suns would trade Gortat in a deal like that. It's just me thinking, you know, if this guy is not going to be part of your, you know, that your next team that's really good, and he's going to need a lot of money in 2 years that he might not be worth, why not get rid of him now? Kind of situation. But you know, I guess it's something we'll never know.
All right,
go ahead, Ryan.
So I mean, you've been talking about Marcin Gortat. And there was a whole bunch of, you know, early outlier issues at ESPN where they were talking about how Marcin Gortat was playing out of his mind this year. He's so much different because, of course, he was leading the league in blocks for a short time. Has he actually changed? Because it looks like his scoring numbers are down. Is he missing Steve Nash, or does he play well with Dragic anyways?
He plays well with Dragic, but of course he misses Steve Nash. I mean, Steve Nash got him the ball in a perfect situation every time. 80% of his shots were assisted with Nash. So, yeah, I mean, how could you not miss Nash? Everyone misses Nash. But Jared Dudley might miss him even more because he really hasn't done anything. And he got a lot of shots up the pick and roll action when people would leave him. But, yeah, he was great to start the year. And Alvin Gentry yesterday said it's been kind of a roller coaster now with Gortat as now he's kind of been on the downswing. He hasn't been playing as much in the fourth quarter now. He was blocking a tremendous amount of shots. He blocked 5 shots 3 times in the first 5 or 6 games, and that's kind of slowed down a little bit too. So he is what he is. He's a dependable big. He's going to get you double-figure rebounds more often than not. This year he has been focusing on blocking shots more than taking charges. Last year you'd see him try to take a charge all the time, which was kind of ridiculous when it was a 6-3 guy charging into the lane. So he's a solid scorer. He's got the decent mid-range jump shot, but yeah, it's really tough without Steve Nash and not having him there and not having a system that relies on that role man as much. The Suns aren't utilizing as many pick and rolls, and that's what he's so good at. He's such an agile, athletic big man that he was great in that pick and roll with Nash. And when you're not running it as much and you don't have 2 times setting you up all the time, your scoring numbers are going to go down.
So, didn't get Gordon, but your big free agent acquisition this summer was Goran Dragic. We've talked a little bit about him. I guess there was 2 sets of people. One thought that what we saw from the second half from Dragic last year was a sign of things to come, and that the Suns had really got a value contract with that 4-year $34 million deal, and other people thought that, you know, he was just overpaid and he was an average starting point guard in the league at best. After 11 games, where would you fall? You know, which camp would you fall into of those two?
Oh, definitely the first one. He's the biggest bright spot of this team right now, without question. He's a young athletic guard. He can shoot it. He can get guys involved, not as well as Nash. You can't make that comparison because there is no comparison. But he's doing a nice job of setting guys up. He plays so hard. And actually, after last night's game, Gentry said they're going to be switching up the starting lineup in some way heading into the next week's games. And I think the only guy who truly is safe, no question, is Goran Dragic. He's really been a revelation. He's picked up right where he left off. And so the numbers are a little bit lower than what he was doing overall in Houston, but he's just shown those flashes. He's very comfortable with Gentry and in the system. And if the Suns did one thing right this offseason, I definitely think it was that contract.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with what Dragic's been doing this year. Another guy on your team who I've been impressed with, and I can't imagine it's going to continue because his history doesn't suggest it, but
Your backup, I guess he's not really a point guard, shooting guard, Shannon Brown. He's always seemed extraordinarily streaky and undependable, and he had that one really good year with the Lakers, and he seemed to live on that. But this year, he's been putting it together. Is he playing differently, or is he just making shots right now, and maybe it's not as sustainable?
No, I think that you must have just seen him on his good streaks, because I think he's still that same guy. And they have been going to him more, because they, especially off the bench, they don't have a ton of scoring, so they need that scoring punch. And he is taking better shots than last year, but he's still that microwave guy who's going to be a volume scorer, take a lot of shots, and he can put points up. I think he's one of the highest scoring guys in the fourth quarter this season, but that's almost just by necessity, the way the Suns are playing. To me, with him, it's like, just take open shots. When the guy takes open shots, he's a tremendous shooter, but he forces so many shots that his percentages are terrible. And yeah, what I was saying with the starting lineup changes, would not be surprised at all to see him moved into the starting lineup in place of Jared Dudley at the two, because he has been one of the Suns' most reliable scorers this season. But it's more of the same, maybe a little bit smarter shot selection, but I don't think he's necessarily been a revelation of any kind.
And going back to Dragic in another kind of way, I mean, this offseason you gave him money, but a couple of weeks before that, you used your first-round pick on Kendall Marshall, a guy that I loved coming out of UNC, a guy that theoretically would be fantastic in the open court. Not only is Dragic starting, but Sebastian Telfair is getting the backup minutes. Marshall has barely been on the court. I mean, we've all seen Sebastian Telfair in this league. He's a average backup point guard at best. At some point this season, do you think that the Suns just see what they have in Marshall, or is it going to be hard for him to get playing time on this team?
That's what I've always thought going into the year, but Bassey's actually been really good this season, and he was in April last year. He was awful to start the year, but he turned it on in April. The Suns bench as a whole was pretty good as they made that playoff push there, and he put up some of the best numbers he ever has in his career. He's become a much better mid-range jump shooter, which is obviously something that he was terrible at back in the day, or at least a few levels below mediocre. So, I mean, he's just so tough and physical, and he gets in guys' heads. He gets right up in guys, and he still doesn't run the offense that well, but he's a big part of that energy unit along with P.J. Tucker in the second unit. And I think as long as the Suns are trying to win this season, he's going to be in there. He is really – he's done everything you would want out of a backup point guard. And, you know, from what we saw in the preseason and what we saw in summer league, Kendall Marshall just isn't quite ready for the NBA game. He's an elite passer, but that's it. Obviously, we know he's not a very good shooter. He's not a great defender right now. So I think if the Suns do fall completely out of contention, you have to see what you have in Kendall Marshall. He was your first-round pick for a reason. Telfair is doing a great job, but he's not your future in any way, shape, or form. So I think it might take longer than I expected, and I don't think that if it's on pure merit that Marshall is going to beat Telfair out the way he's playing. But, yeah, obviously, if you're 20 games out in March, why wouldn't you play your first-round pick? There'd really be no reason not to.
So I've got – in the offseason, you guys made a big trade with the Timberwolves. And basically, you picked up Michael Beasley, Wes Johnson, and a pick.
Well, Beasley was a free agent signing.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, the trade was with you guys too. The three-way trade with Lopez.
Right, just for Wes Johnson and the pick.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'll leave Beasley out of it. I guess Wes Johnson's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah,
he's played five games. He has a PER of 0.4.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Wes Johnson will be a Phoenix Sun next year?
I mean, I like everything. It depends on the price, and it depends on how the season plays out. The Suns declined his option for 2013-14, but that was really a foregone conclusion. He was making way too much money for some guy who has the PER that you already stated earlier. So, at this point, P.J. Tucker has been one of their best players. which is a huge shock because you guys probably don't even know who he is. He was a second-round pick of the Raptors, played the 06-07 season here. He's been overseas the last 5 years. Just played so hard with so much energy and is a fantastic defensive player. He locked up LeBron last night as well as you can. LeBron was 3-for-9 in the fourth quarter against him, and he just really made him work and made him take outside jump shots. And a lot of the time, the Suns have fallen behind in by double digits in 10 of 11 games this season, and their bench unit with Talfair and Tucker have really helped them dig him out of it. So at first I was kind of shocked that Tucker was getting minutes instead of Wes Johnson. Now I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be the case. So unless somebody gets hurt, I don't see where Wes Johnson's going to come in and get minutes. Maybe it's one of those things, if they get out of it later in the season, especially if they make a trade, he's thrown into the lineup and you see what you have in him. But at this point, it looks like that trade was really just for the first round pick because he has been, I mean, he almost hasn't even gotten a chance to. I can only imagine with how well Tucker's playing that he's just eating him alive in practice, and that's why he's not getting onto the court so far.
And Ryan wanted to jump the gun and talk Michael Beasley because
sure.
Who doesn't at this point? But So I'm going to do it. So I watched every Timberwolves game last year because the Hornets owned the Timberwolves pick. I was cheering against the Timberwolves, obviously, in every single game. And to me, my favorite player was Michael Beasley because he was just a ball stopper on a beautiful offense. He had this irrational confidence where he wanted the ball at the end of games, even though they had Rubio and Love. And when Phoenix signed him, I thought it was a horrible signing. And then I watched him in the preseason. He had a couple of games where he looked tremendous, and I thought, well, I'm an idiot. And now through the first 11 games, at least seems like he's doing Michael Beasley type things, but you guys are still first in pace in the NBA. So is he stopping the ball? Is he, a fly in the ointment with the offense, or is he playing better than his numbers show?
You definitely saw the Denver preseason game on ESPN, didn't you?
Oh yeah. He was lighting it up.
Wasn't he great? Yeah. And the Suns want him taking 18 to 20 shots a game. They said they're giving him more responsibility than any team has in his previous 4 years in the league, which is obviously a terrifying concept. And thus far, no, his numbers are pretty indicative. He's been what he's always been. He's had a few great games, but overall he's just been, and not necessarily a ball stopper, but certainly a high volume, low efficiency player. He's made more than half his shots only once in 11 games. He's been better. He has moved the ball. He had 9 assists the other day against the Lakers. So I wouldn't necessarily call him a ball stopper. It's just he's not making shots. He's getting the shots. He just can't make them. So, yeah, I mean, you watch that preseason game. He did have some good preseason performances, and the talent is so tantalizing with him. And maybe he still does figure it out because by necessity, the Suns are going to give him chances to be that guy. They don't have a go-to scorer. And the reason they have already lost many games late is they've got nobody, a guy who can take, they have no guy who can just take over like that. So in theory, Beasley would be the guy. He's the one guy who seems to have 20 points per game potential out there. But thus far, it's just been so much inconsistency, and half the games he doesn't really show up. And you look at the plus-minus numbers, the Suns are immensely better, especially defensively, when P.J. Tucker's in the game instead of Michael Beasley, which is something nobody would have thought 4 years ago when he was the number 2 overall pick. So it's really the same. He hasn't been as much of a ball stopper, and he has moved the ball, but at the same time, he's just not making shots. He's just been such an inefficient scorer, so I guess I'd have to say it's just more of the same.
So in this upcoming game, we've had, I guess, two games in a row where we've been absolutely buried from outside. The Hornets, you know, they shot better than 50% in both of the last two games from three, and Oklahoma City just embarrassed us with their shooting. Is there anybody on your team? I mean, because I remember last year Markieff Morris had like a breakout game, and his brother in Houston just recently had a breakout game against us, which is kind of annoying. But it doesn't look like Morris is shooting particularly well, and I don't see anyone who's shooting particularly well from deep from your team. Is there someone we should be terrified is going to do the same thing to us that we've experienced the past few games?
No, you're exactly right. Nobody is shooting the ball very well from any distance for the Suns for the most part. I guess the one guy to watch would be Shannon Brown because he is the hot and cold guy. He made 6 threes in the fourth quarter against Charlotte to seal a win earlier in the season. So he's the kind of guy who can get hot and will keep shooting it. So if that's what keeps happening, I would put my money in him. But and then Jared Dudley has not shot the ball well all season, but you just kind of feel like it's coming because he is a good shooter. He shot very well in prior seasons. So maybe he just needs to play your 3-point defense to bust out like that. But thus far, yeah, the Suns they're a jump shooting team that doesn't make jump shots, and that's why they're 4-7.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Shannon Brown and Dudley combined for 8 made threes. Book it right now.
Yeah.
So I guess this is Hornets related, but you definitely have some experience with this. In that immortal Wesley Johnson trade, the Hornets did bring in Robin Lopez, Akeem Warrick too, which surprisingly was sent out for a guy that we're not going to even play. But Lopez is still here, started off red hot, had 19-7 his first game, 16-7 his second. And then recently we've seen kind of a dip in production, most notably the rebounding numbers, where over a 3-game stretch he was averaging just 2 boards a game. I guess, did you see this from Lopez in his time in Phoenix, or the Hornets fans that are thinking that the first 2 games are indicative of maybe how we'll play the whole season? Is there any chance they're correct, or is this the type of player that Lopez was in Phoenix?
I only saw it for 4 years, and the 2 years I watched him at Stanford, too. So he's just not a good rebounder. You think that he's the rebound defense twin, and, you know, he's a solid defender. He's a big body. He lost some athleticism in Phoenix when he had the back injury, but I think he's got that back now. But, yeah, he's just not a good rebounder. His rebound rate numbers over the years have always been much worse than you would expect for a guy like this. And he never really grabs more than 5-6 rebounds except for the occasional standout game in that department. And I look back at Stanford, it was the same thing. And maybe that's just because he had his brother by him and, you know, that's a lot of size. But he played at the same time as Kevin Love. Kevin Love was a dominant college rebounder, and Robin Lopez was grabbing 6 rebounds a game in the same conference, you know. So he's always really been like that. I can't say I'm surprised. The only surprise was when he started out that well, and I'm like, wow, he must have really gotten his athleticism back and something like that. But, yeah, that's just what it's going to be. Seth Pollock, who wrote for Bright Side of the Sun, had a theory that he does a great job of sealing off his man and helping other guys get rebounds, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. So maybe the Hornets will still be on the positive side rebounding when he's on the floor, even if he's not grabbing them, but he's always been a subpar rebounder for a guy with his size and at one point his athleticism. So I can't say I'm surprised there, guys.
I'm sad.
But I mean, he still has, you know, you might have noticed the jump shot isn't as bad as you would expect from him. I mean, he doesn't hit it at a terribly high rate, but he can at least keep you honest with it. And if he does get some of that athleticism back, he's still, only 24, I believe. So it's not a bad pickup, especially at that price. But if you expect him to be that big, dominant rebounder, that's just not going to happen, most likely.
Right. Yeah, we're kind of looking at him as a stopgap until Anthony Davis has enough weight that he can play
right.
The center role. And then we can roll. I mean, the fourth quarters are boiling down to Anthony Davis and Ryan Anderson in our front court. So I think I can live with that, too.
Yeah.
So
I play those guys over Robin. There's no question about that.
Right.
So you did talk about it. You played Miami tough. Had quite a few good games this year, been battling in almost every game. The Hornets are coming into Phoenix Friday night. Give us your prediction for the game.
Well, the first obvious prediction of any Suns game is that they're going to fall behind by double digits at some point and fight their way back. I think the Hornets are on a similar enough level that they'll be able to overtake New Orleans, and I'll go a close game, 102-99 Suns.
All right, yeah. Score 99 points. I'll take that.
Oh, no. I know.
Well, you can find the Suns' defense isn't exactly playing the world on fire. But it's going to be really interesting to see what lineup changes the Suns use, because the last five games the starters have just gotten killed. So it could be kind of a different team, and you wonder if they could catch lightning in a bottle over a stretch, because they've had some of these bench lineups playing really well. Like I said, Bassey and P.J. Tucker have been fantastic, really played with a lot of energy. So I kind of see the Suns a little bit like how you guys were last year, where they're not a good team. They don't have a lot of talent, but they really play super hard, and they've come back into most games. Sometimes they still the other team gets a bit of distance at the end, but the Suns generally are in every game. They just have that one stretch. The other team goes on a big run, and that's usually the difference.
Well, if P.J. Tucker is the elite defender you say he is, he is going to have his hands full with Austin Rivers and Al-Farouq Aminu. Those guys are lighting it up this
year. Yeah, our wing offense is amazing.
Yeah.
I think they're averaging more turnovers than made baskets.
I mean, it's crazy. The guy had more rebounds than the Chicago Bulls in the fourth quarter, which is, I mean, come on, how crazy is that?
Yeah. And I never heard of him.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him either, and I thought he wasn't going to play. I was like, okay, they signed a Texas Longhorn, Lance Blanks, the Suns GM's alma mater. That's nice. He'll be a good bench warmer, but he just plays so hard that they can't not play him, and he's put the number 4 overall pick from 2010 on the bench for the entire year so far.
Is Luke Zeller your victory cigar?
Yeah, exactly. Lance Blanks called him one of the best shooters in the world at a media lunch for the season. So
he's
one of the best tackle shooters you'll ever see.
Wow. Damn him with faint praise, I guess.
We told Gentry, and he's like, I'd start with saying one of the best shooters in the county and work our way up. But apparently the guy can really stroke it. I think the Suns just want to collect as many Lester brothers as they possibly can.
Oh. Yeah, didn't they have Griffin's brother at one point?
They did. They had Taylor Griffin, obviously. They had Robin. They had Jaren Collins, although it's hard to tell which is the lesser brother between the two of them. People thought Markieff was the lesser brother, so the joke was even when the Suns picked first of the brothers, they picked the lesser brother. So maybe they're just getting things warm for his brother at Indiana.
That's right. Okay, well, thanks very much for coming on and talking Suns basketball with us.
And yeah, hopefully before Stern goes out, he does New Orleans one more favor, lifts that trade rule, and Eric Gordon could be a Sun.
Sure. I'm sure that the Suns medical staff would have a field day trying to fix him.
I don't know if that's actually good or bad for. I mean, if Eric Gordon went somewhere else and played perfectly healthy for the next 3 or 4 years, can you imagine the howls of outrage from our fan base?
Yeah, no question. But I mean, he was hurt in L.A. too, on and off. So we'll see. We'll see if he gets back this year. He's not the only guy. You look at all the stuff with Bynum. I mean, Bynum's been injured his entire career. Now he comes to a new team and he's had all sorts of weird stuff happening and kind of the same don't know when he's coming back situation. Another young guy who knows what's going to happen with him. So, and even, I mean, you hate to even say this name, but Brandon Roy, how bright his star was at one point.
Right.
You never know if a guy isn't right. But I really think that you guys don't need to worry about it. I think that he's going to come back and still be that guy. Maybe he's injury prone throughout his entire career and he only played 60 games a season. Who knows? But you got to think he's going to get it fixed at some point.
Well, I have a plan. Let Lon Babby know about this. This next offseason, he should sign Andrew Bynum, and we'll trade you Eric Gordon because we can do it after a year.
You can't trade him to us at all.
Not at all? Really?
Yeah, you can't, for the length of his contract. You can't trade him, I think, to any other team without his approval for a year. But, yeah, you can't trade him to the Suns.
Well, that's not fun.
So, yeah, that's why I gave you way more in the trade that I said than the Suns ever would. And if I really got down to thinking about it, I don't think I would include Gortat in there. Thinking back to that answer, I was a little thrown off guard with that question. But, yeah, Eric Gordon will not be a Sun for the foreseeable future. Although, if you traded him somewhere and then they traded him to the Suns, I'm not sure what the rule is. I assume they would be able to at that point.
Right.
But,
you can make it a three-team deal.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work out. We'll have to get the league office in on that one.
All right. We'll get Larry Kuhn on the podcast again. He was able to explain some stuff for us before.
Yeah, great. Yeah, well, I'd like to know that answer.
All righty. Thanks for coming on.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
New Orleans is a party town. Ain't nothing but a party.